Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. Support for this episode comes from Costa Sunglasses. So, I've always been a water person. I guess I didn't really have much of a choice in the matter. When I was just a few months old, my mom put my baby seat in the front of a two-person kayak, and she paddled me around like that. She had to put a rock in the front of the boat because apparently I was not heavy enough to keep the bow in the water. Anyway, suffice it to say, I have grown up loving the water. It's my happy place. If it's your happy place too, you probably already know how helpful it is to have good sunglasses. You know, sunglasses that cut through the glare and let you see clearly and stay put when you get knocked around by the waves. This is where Costa comes in. The company was founded by a group of fishermen who wanted to stay on the water longer. To do that, they developed lenses that would increase visibility and clarity on the water. Then they designed hinges that would stand up to salt water. And finally, they made frames that stay in place just like you want them to. If you're thinking about spending some time around the water this season, or if you just want a new pair of good quality sunglasses, head over to costasunglasses.com. That's costasunglasses.com. Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. And now, on to our story for today. Sometimes life has moments that are filled with sweetness. You know, those times when everything seems to flow just right. And then there are the periods that leave more of a bitter taste in your mouth, the moments that cause pain. I think it's pretty natural for us to want the painful times to end. We want the good times back. We want life to be smooth. But what if it's not so black and white? What if the hard times could actually be somehow enjoyable? What if we could find pleasure in pain? Today's story is by a woman named Heather Dea Rideau. It's a story that takes us from the beaches of Thailand to the mountains of Maine, and it shows how a brief encounter with strangers in the woods made her completely rethink her relationship with pain. I'll let Heather take it from here.
If you've ever hiked some, or all, of the Appalachian Trail, you know it's a trail that keeps you very aware of your breath. Sure, there are flatter sections in places like Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, where your breath is smooth and even as you walk. And then there are the White Mountains of New Hampshire, where even if you're in rockin' shape, your breath is notably more jagged and sharp as you climb and climb and climb some more. So you could say the relationship with my breath was ever present on my through hike of the AT, day in and day out. That relationship with my breath may have been more, let's say, labored on this particular day. It had been a continuous stream of up, up, and more up in this section of Maine's 100-mile wilderness on the AT. Despite only being 9 miles, it was 9 miles of consistent, focused effort as I made my way over Gulf Haggis Mountain, West Peak, Hay Mountain, and finally Whitecap. I had been alone all day. I had camped in a hidden spot off the trail the night before and set out early for the work before me. The day had a different feel to it, since it was shrouded in light mist with soupy haze and fog that covered the forest and mountains. There's a certain hidden magic the forest holds in this kind of weather, a time when I like to fantasize the wood sprites and fairies come out to play. I like playmates. But I also like to be alone. So I was content in my wanderings as I carried my heavy, laden pack onward and upward. I tuned into my breathing. I often did this when I walked. It was a reminder of that other part of my life. I was, and am, a yoga teacher. Out here on the AT, even if I wasn't practicing hours of yoga poses, I could be present with my breath all the day long as I hiked. That was my practice. I was in my own groove, with my own stride's rhythm, as I ascended up Whitecap through the misty woods while being kissed by a soft drizzle. I didn't own a smartphone at this time, and I chose to send my iPod home for this part of the hike. I wanted to completely immerse in my present surroundings. I wanted to pay attention, to wake up, or something like that. There's an interesting energy in this section of the AT, because many people get on trail to figure something or everything out in life. They think at the beginning, okay, I've got 5 or 6 months to put it all together. So I don't need to look at that stuff now. I'll do it tomorrow or next week or next month. It'll come. So by the time you're in the 100-mile wilderness as a northbound hiker, the summit of Katahdin's mighty close and you realize, dang, I better figure that crap out now. Some hikers are calm. Some panic. This is why there's a bit of a buzzing hum toward the end of a through hike. There's a potent amount of inner electricity to work with. For me? Well, I was a flip-flopper, which means I hadn't started the trail at one end or another, but rather somewhere in between. At Hot Springs, North Carolina, to be precise. My family lived close by in Asheville, so it was convenient. Also, I never really do things the conventional way. So the plan was that after I reached Katahdin, which is the northern terminus of the trail, I had to get back to where I began in Hot Springs to finish my hike south to Springer Mountain. That meant I still had time to get it sorted. Phew. Exhale. What in my life was I trying to get sorted? In May of 2015, I came back to the United States after several years of living mostly abroad. I had been based on a gorgeous tropical island in South Thailand where I managed a yoga retreat center. My days were filled with ocean swims, rock climbing limestone cliffs, teaching yoga as my job, bike rides at sunset, and drinking coconuts. It was a good life, to say the least. Yet, I returned to the U.S. for another job opportunity, which also sounded amazing, but it didn't end up working out. So here I was, feeling rather confused about what to do next with my life. I was in a state of reverse culture shock, somewhat anxious and depressed. I wasn't used to things being uncomfortable or difficult, because in the past when they were, I would just change it up and do something else. It wasn't a running away tactic. To me, it was just choosing to not stay in a funk. This time, though, I decided I would give living in the States a try, even if I wasn't really sure that was what I wanted. For some reason, I felt a new internal pull to do something different, to ground myself more and have a base. I also had a wish to be closer to family and had a probing desire to start a family of my own. Since 2006, I had spent months and years at a time either traveling, hiking, or working abroad in places like South and Central America, Nepal, India, Southeast Asia, Morocco, and Europe. Every so often, I would hop back into the States to wait tables, make a lot of cash, and then take off for an extensive period. Eventually, though, my work with teaching yoga led to many opportunities overseas, and I was able to comfortably support myself and save without having to return to the U.S. It had become the flow of my life, so the notion of changing the pattern was a little scary, especially due to past experience. Whenever I did return from abroad, the scenario usually went something like this. I came back radiant and glowing about life, full of optimism and hope. Then somehow that glow would start to chip away as I got absorbed into the stress, pace, and cultural norms that I had missed learning how to deal with. I struggled to find my place. I felt like life moved so quickly here, and it was hard to keep up. It was overwhelming. This year, coming back to the U.S., the experience wasn't much different. But I was determined to stay put for a while. I landed a great living situation and job as a live-in house sitter and pet nanny in Asheville, North Carolina, close to where my family and friends lived. Despite having a wonderful community around me and a seemingly good situation, I still felt crummy. The stress of being single hit me. I was in my late 30s and suddenly wanted a relationship and a family of my own, two things I had never wanted before. I fell into a swirl of regret about past choices relevant to career and my love life. I wanted it easy again because I didn't feel like waiting for a new path to emerge. I was digging myself into a hole and needed to get out. I needed a deep breath. One day, after I poured my heart out to a close girlfriend, she told me, "Heather, you've lived an enchanted life. Good things always happen to you. You just have to see the beauty around you now when it's hard. You've got grit. You always have. You'll get through this." I thought about her words later on and actually looked up the definition of grit. Grit, the dictionary told me, is a combination of one's perseverance, effort, and passion for a particular goal. This perseverance is what lets you overcome obstacles and challenges. Well, that sounded all good and nice, but what if I didn't feel that gritty anymore? I had always been persistent in chasing after goals, but now I just felt tired thinking about putting in all that effort. What if I didn't like sitting with the uncomfortable and being patient as I figured out my new goals at this stage of my life? What if I wanted the partner and family now? I would have these griping thoughts and then feel guilty about them, like I was whining. Oh, woe is me, poor little Heather, who doesn't feel like being patient. I mean, come on. I didn't have it that bad. Yet I was too trapped in my head to acknowledge all the good around me. Maybe that's something that happens to many of us as we get older. When we're young, we have all the time in the world to set the stage and plan it out. But here I was, worried I had blown my stage-setting opportunity and had doomed the rest of my life because I didn't make a plan. You know, the have-a-steady-job, house-and-family kind of plan. I was known for not being a planner, and I had loved that piece of my personality because it gave me freedom to explore and to be open to what came to me. However, in this moment of my life, I now hated that part about me and cursed my carefree ways. So not only did I want to get through the hard stuff quickly like many of us do, I also was in a state of self-loathing about the course of my life. I started thinking of myself as a bad yogi because despite years and years of practice and study of yoga philosophy and meditation, I was kind of a mess. This was not a great combination for positive thinking and forward action. Exhale again. In North Carolina, I spent a lot of time outside. Every morning, I would walk the dog up the hill of the steep driveway, and I gazed off to the mountains of Appalachia. Every day, they looked back at me and beckoned me to come. For several months, I just thought about it, getting on the AT, as it had always been a dream of mine. Maybe committing to something as big as that would help me learn to stay with something, I thought, to appreciate the beauty in all experiences, even the hard ones, to get my grit back.
Hey, it's Willow. We'll get back to Heather's story in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from Think Outside. Think Outside is an outdoor subscription box for kids. When you subscribe, you'll get a box in the mail each month filled with gear and resources that will get your kids away from a screen and outside exploring nature. So, Think Outside actually sent me one of their boxes, and since I don't have kids of my own, I brought it over to a friend's house so her son Owen could try it out. So what do we got here?
Trowel. A little flashlight, a wire saw.
The wire saw is a really simple device, but it seems to be an instant hit.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah. Is it really just made out of wire?
I think.
Huh. Here's the instructions. Wrap the wire saw around the branch.
Now apply pressure, keeping the wire tight on the branch, and start moving the saw side to side.
Yeah.
Should we try this thing on a table leg?
No. Please, no. I bet Matt has some scraps of wood in the garage you could test it out on.
For $10 off your first Think Outside box, head to thinkoutsideboxes.com and enter the coupon code OUTTHERE at checkout. That's thinkoutsideboxes.com, coupon code OUTTHERE. And now, back to the story.
One day, I just decided I was going to do it through hike the AT. It was around mid-March 2016. I'd been working odd jobs, so I didn't have any work commitments to hold me back, and my finances were in good order. I dove into my planning, knowing I wanted to start in around a month's time. I was practically living at REI and the local outfitter shops, gathering all the information I could, researching gear online, and preparing. It was April 27th, 2016, when I started the Appalachian Trail. I took a long, substantial breath of fresh, crisp, springtime air on a sunny day. In that instant, I felt like the woman I knew again. I just needed to breathe. That's one of the reasons I got on trail, to catch my breath and get out of my worry about what was next. Yet, at the same time, I was there to change the way I looked at challenges, to see them as creative opportunities. I was there to see the magic, even in the hard moments. Fast forward several months later to September 2016 in Maine's 100-mile wilderness. There I steadily slogged up the fourth and final climb of the day. I still hadn't figured out life. However, I just tried to focus on my present moment inhale and exhale. Because I didn't have music on, I sensed someone coming behind me. She was smooth and even in her pace, and I heard her breathing, clear as a bell, rhythmic and pulsing. For a moment, I thought I was listening to soft porn. Except this was real. And not made up to sound enticing for an audience. Her breath was sensual and full of pleasure, as if in those highlight peak moments of lovemaking or hot sex. Her breath was labored, but it lacked any element of discomfort or pain. You often hear people complain about tackling the hills, and you hear them moan and groan in utter yuck in order to just get to the top and get it over with. Oh, she was moaning and groaning, all right, but there wasn't an ounce of a wish to get this climb over with. She was in it, fully. And she was enjoying it. That was for damn sure. I turned around to behold this woman. She was in perhaps her late 50s with the most brilliant, bright blue eyes. They sparkled in a way I dreamed to shine. I caught her smiling as she took another step and then looked back at her companion below. We took a moment to say hello and exchange names. I learned the women were sisters, section hiking the 100 miles. After our short break, I turned to continue on. We weren't really walking together. However, I was ahead, so I set the pace for us as I returned to paying attention to my own breath. Inhale, next step. I remembered the earlier days on the AT when I would bust up a mountain and suddenly needed a moment to lay back on my pack against a rock and stop, to catch my breath. I would feel my heart almost burst out of my chest, like rapid gunfire. Eventually, it would level out, smooth like a crisply ironed shirt. It's all gonna be okay, I'd tell myself. With intrigue, I listened to the woman softly pant behind me, and I pondered some of my current wishes and dreams. Childbirth. What's that like? I have no idea, but I'd like to know. As I hiked before these two women as we each breathed in our own way, I considered labor and having a baby. 9 years ago, when I was dead set against having a child, I asked a girlfriend about her experience, whether it was as horrible and painful as I imagined at that time. She replied, "Heather, how could the greatest thing I've ever done in my life be horrible or painful?" Sometimes the most incredible and rewarding experiences of our lives take work. Effort, endurance. The ancient yogis say the gap between the inhale and the exhale is where the secret of life lies. Breathlessness. This is the place of creative energy. This is the receiving place. This is where we birth and create a life, a vision, an idea. Here, on this mountain, the sexy, sultry, erotic breath of this bright, blue-eyed woman reminded me that even the hardest moments can be so, so sweet. Dang, the sweetness. I had missed the sweetness. I saw it clearly now. While I was spinning amidst my confusion in Asheville, being there had given me so much precious time to spend with my family and friends. I considered all the moments I got to spend in nature, the yoga studies I was able to immerse in again, and how much I loved singing at community music events. I felt gratitude for the couple I lived with as their pet nanny. How kindly they welcomed me into the haven of their home, giving me safe space before my next step. There can be pleasure in pain. It was up to me and my attitude to determine whether I could enjoy the blessings around me, even if it hurt at the same time. I reached the top of White Cap. The clouds were pregnant and heavy still. There were no views. All that work for nothing, some would say. I always laugh at that. Is it ever just about the destination? It didn't matter to the sisters as they happily arrived. They asked if I would take pictures for them to support their celebration. I looked around to what I could see on this foggy mountaintop, which was mainly just the sign that told me I was there. Suddenly, though, it dawned on me that I had figured some things out. I had learned that when moments are hard in life, I can be with them. I don't have to change it or fix it or make it better. I can breathe with it. I can embrace either and say, "Groovy, this is where I'm at now." Sometimes life is sour, and sometimes it's sweet. Whether I choose to live and work abroad or in the US, at times there's going to be both ease and discomfort. There will be moments that require my effort and moments that are effortless. We don't have to live in a constant state of struggle. Yet, life would be pretty boring if it was smooth sailing all the time, I realized. It's actually kind of wonderful to see beauty in everything, even the murk. And I can truly enjoy all the phases of my breath and my experience, whether it be rough and ragged, or sensual and pleasurable. There is a story behind the symbolism of the lotus flower I share with my yoga students. How the lotus flower grows out of the mud and blooms into something magnificent. That's kind of like us. We struggle to work through our mud, but we can still play in it for a bit as we grow upward to shine. I'm okay, I thought. I said goodbye to the sisters and started to walk again, panting with pleasure.
Was Heather Dea Rideau. She's a traveling yoga teacher and writer, and she's currently through hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. You can find out more about Heather and her writing at wanderyoga.com. Special thanks to Amma Devi for recording Heather's narration. Amma runs Amma Devi Bhakti Yoga, and we've got a link to that on our website, outtherepodcast.com. Before you go, I want to remind you that applications for becoming an Out There Ambassador are due June 1st. Out There Ambassadors are listeners just like you who help showcase and promote the podcast. The goal of the program is to broaden our listenership as well as foster a sense of community amongst our audience and spark interesting discussions. We're especially interested in taking on ambassadors who bring an underrepresented perspective to the outdoor community. That can mean anything from ethnicity, to gender, to religion, sexual orientation, basically any voice that you feel needs more representation in the outdoor community. To apply, just head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and again, applications are due June 1st. A big thank you to Jonathan Cohen, Mike Lutters, Hillary Adams, Amy Grandelli, Patty Williams, Vincent Chen, Jenny and John Stark, Ashley Gray, Mike Vore, Nina McConaughey, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. We are raising money to compensate our team for the work they put into the show. If you'd like to help us meet that goal, just go to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and click support. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. Our advertising coordinator is Jessica Taylor. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program. And our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.